Well, turning then this morning to that portion of God's word that we read, Mark chapter 6, and from verse 30 to the end of the chapter. And what comes out of this portion of the scriptures that we read and those accounts that take place there is very much the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ, his compassion. And we're going to come to look at something of that there, but before we do so, it might occur to us, well, why do we dwell upon the compassion of the Lord? Are we not, all of us, compassionate? I'm sure we all like to think that we know something of being compassionate. What sets the Lord's compassion apart from our compassion? And of course, as we think about that, it doesn't take us long to realise that, oh, they are worlds apart, aren't they? Our compassion, well, so often, isn't it, we weary, don't we? We see perhaps many needs and we respond in compassion, but the time comes, doesn't it, when we're wearied, we're worn out by all the very many needs that perhaps come upon us. And then, of course, we see that we're unable so often to meet the needs of those that we're compassionate towards. We see so many needs, we're compassionate, but we're unequal to it. We can't satisfy those in need. Of course, the Lord Jesus, oh, he is the one who is almighty. He is the one who meets every need. And of course, when we think about the compassion of the Lord Jesus, we realize that we, of course, are so undeserving. And he is the one who is compassionate toward an unworthy people. We're unworthy, aren't we, of all the Lord's love and compassion. His compassion is born out of a love for his people. And so in every way, there's so many ways, aren't there, in which we see that the compassion of the Lord is far removed from any compassion that we might want to compare it to. But the Lord's compassion, of course, is one that we see in this passage that is especially meted out to our every need. And that's the part of the compassion I want us to dwell upon as we come to this passage this morning. The Lord it is who meets our every need, whoever we are. This morning, whatever circumstance we're in, whatever situation we're in, whatever our understanding is, we need the Lord Jesus. And he's the one who is compassionate. He's the one who knows our every need. And he's the one who meets our every need. So as we come to this passage, I have four things I want to set before us that can cause us to dwell upon this glorious thought of the Lord meeting our every need. Firstly then, notice how he meets the need of his weary disciples. The passage opens with that. You remember perhaps if you were here before that what's happened is that the apostles, the disciples have been sent out as apostles to preach the word, to heal the sick. They went out with the Lord's authority over unclean spirits. They were to go in faith. They weren't to take all the provisions that we might take for a journey. They were to go trusting that everything would be provided. And they've returned from that. And the opening verses here we looked at there, it says they gather together to the Lord and they tell him all that they've done and all that took place and all that they've said. And they're full of all the things that have taken place there. And the Lord Jesus says something very interesting. You notice how the verses begin. In verse 31, he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. Here were a weary, exhausted group of the Lord's people. They've been about the Lord's business. They've been serving him. They've been faithfully proclaiming him, having to deal. Can you imagine that? Though the authority that they went with was amazing, but to deal with unclean spirits. And we see some of the insight of those things, the circumstances. What a lovely, touching understanding we have there of how the Lord, he sees our every need, even when we're exhausted and weary in serving the Lord. But I want you to notice what he particularly says, come aside. He doesn't send them off to some recluse. He's saying, come to me. Spend time with me. For all that period of time when they've been sent out, they've been separated from the Lord. The Lord had remained. We don't read much about what happens there, but he sent them out to minister, to preach, to heal. And they've been separated from the Lord. And so as he says, you need a time of rest, he says, come aside and rest a while. There's a challenge for us here. There are times when we want refreshment and we're worn out perhaps with duties, perhaps with cares, responsibilities and their troubles and we're just exhausted. I just need some rest. Do we spend it with the law? Do our thoughts, our hearts turn immediately to the law? Here's the Lord saying, you need rest. Notice what it says there. It explains what the trouble was. And then to verse 31, there were many coming and going. They had no leisure so much as to eat. You think the Lord would say, well, you need a meal. They're going to... No, come aside. Come and be with him. Now, what is our response when there are times of leisure? What do our minds turn to? What is it that occupies us when we have those moments? It's, I've finished those jobs. I've done all this thing. I'm just going to... What is it? Do we spend time with the Lord? Do we know the Lord saying, come aside with me. Come to me and rest a while. We see that wonderfully, of course, established in the Sabbath day. We see the 7 days, don't we, of the week, and we see the Lord, he set aside the seventh day as a day of rest. He says, 6 days shalt thou labour and do all thy work, the seventh is a Sabbath. He says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. We need rest. The Lord knows that we need physical rest. But notice, it's the Sabbath of the Lord. It's the Lord's day. It's a holy day. That day of rest that the Lord has provided, that we need as material, physical beings, we need a day of rest. But he says, particularly, it's to be spent with the Lord, meditating upon his word, worshipping him, gathering together with the Lord's people. You see, again, there's that that sets apart. Come aside and rest a while. Come unto me. I wonder as well, when we plan holidays, there's a challenge for us. And we look forward to the time of the year. We say, oh, I'm really going to have a time of rest now. I'm going to have a holiday. And you book your holiday and you plan your holiday. But how much thought goes into the time that you'll spend able to be with the Lord? And on the Lord's Day, how much thought has gone into what will I do on the Lord's Day? Where will I worship? Where will I gather with the Lord's people? Come aside and rest a while. The Lord meets our every need. He meets the needs of his weary disciples, his weary people. Secondly then, as the account goes on, we see, don't we, here, the Lord's compassion when he sees the great crowds coming. And so he sees sheep without a shepherd. Sheep without a shepherd. Oh, notice what he says there. Verse 34. When he came out, he saw much people, was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. There's a word for every one of us, isn't it? We all of us need the Lord Jesus. You know, in the world, people pursue all sorts of things. We have so many. People think they have those that will lead them. We have personal trainers, gurus, we have influencers. You name it, there's all sorts of people and individuals that the world follows. They're not shepherds. They are people without a shepherd. And here were a people, they were coming to the Lord. And many, when you read the parallel accounts, many were coming for healing. Many were coming because they'd heard and seen the miracles. They wanted to see more of these. They were gathering to the Lord. But what was their real need? Their real need was to know the Lord as their shepherd. They were without a shepherd. This morning, if you're without the Lord, or you're wandering away from the Lord, you're without a shepherd. The Lord sees us as a people who need a shepherd. People who are without a shepherd. And what does he do? He supplies that need. And as the account goes on, what does he do? He says at the end of verse 30, and he began to teach them many things. The parallel accounts say, he preached unto them the kingdom of God. That's our need. Our need is to come under the sound of the word. And to know that he is the one who leads us. He is the one who guides us. He is the one who instructs us. This is the way. Walk in it. And of course, the Lord Jesus above all is the one who is the shepherd, the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. And the Lord looks out and a people coming to him and gathering unto him. He meets the needs of those needy, wandering sheep. Are you a wandering sheep this morning? Have you tried every other course in life, pursued this and that? You're here today. You've come under the sound of the word. You've, as it were, like these crowds, come to see something of Jesus. And he looks out and sees a people without a shepherd. What do they need to hear? To hear the Lord Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, who came into this world to lay down his life for his people, that they might know forgiveness of sins, that they might know purpose in their life, that they might then follow the good shepherd and realize that they're on a journey, and there's an end to that journey. Where will you be on that great day? Will you be found there, rejoicing that the Lord Jesus, as your good shepherd, has gone before to prepare a place for you? Or will you stand there and hear those dreadful words, I never knew you, depart from me? To hear the Lord Jesus, when he sees his people gathering, a people without a shepherd, he says, you need me. And again, just as we saw before, it's coming to the Lord. It's knowing him. It's seeking him. It's following him as the good shepherd. So not only is he the one who teaches, not only is he the one who preaches, not only is he the one who laid down his life for us, but he's the one who leads us. And he's the one who meets those very needs that we have. We need this good shepherd. Do you know him as your good shepherd? And you say, yes, I know him. I love him. I believe he's my saviour. Then is he your shepherd? Is he leading you? Do you follow him? Do you seek unto him day by day? Here were a people, and they were coming to Jesus. Some of them not really knowing what their need was. But it's to know Jesus. It was to come to him. It was to follow him. It was to hang on his every word. To read the scriptures and to see Christ in the scriptures. Are you one who is truly following the Lord Jesus? He meets that need. He meets the need of those who are without a shepherd. And then thirdly, we see again in this portion, when we come to the wonderful miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. I wonder what your thoughts are when you read that. We've been thinking about the compassion of the Lord, the Lord meeting the needs, and you read those accounts of him feeding the 5,000 and the 4,000 on the other occasion. You think, well, those are wonderful occasions where the Lord, he proved his power. He proved who his person was, that he was our creator. He could create out of nothing something that wasn't there before, material, food that clearly wasn't there in the first place. We see that. We see him supplying the needs of a hungry people. But there's more to it there when we come to this account. What does the Lord do? Well, thirdly, he has a welcome that never wears thin. He has a welcome where he says, come and stay with me. We might think of the feed of 5,000 as just constrained to that miracle of the feeding of their material food. But there's something deeper here as we think about the Lord's compassion and as he meets the needs. Notice what it is that is described here. It says the day was far spent. The time had passed, it says, far past. It was late. It had been a long day. It had been a wearing day. And the disciples say to Jesus, send the people away. Send them away. You know, the day's far spent. Enough. Send them away. And the Lord, of course, in this wonderful miracle of feeding the 5,000, he has them stay. It's one of the other parallel accounts in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 14 and verse 16. Matthew adds these words. The Lord Jesus says, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. They need not depart. Isn't that a lovely word? Oh, Jesus is the one who, having had a people come to him, and as he meets their needs, and as he preaches and teaches, and he's drawn them into his presence, he says, then you never depart. You realize that so often when we find ourselves in need, advice is to meet some need that comes up, that try this, go there, hear this thing, go to see that person. We need not depart from the Lord. The Lord meets our every need. We're not saying here he's going to put the food on your table, you don't need to go out and buy it. We're talking about our spiritual needs. Every spiritual need that the Lord provides. Do you ever find yourselves doubting that? Think, well, I haven't found an answer here in the Word of God, or the Lord's not answering this prayer, or that need isn't being met. He said, you need not depart. Here are a people who, in the presence of the eternal Son of God, their Creator, and the Lord says to his disciples, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. And the same message we can apply to ourselves today. We need never depart, never to turn away from the Lord and say, well, I need some other help. I need some advice from the world. I need some worldly wisdom. I need something else to complement. No, you need never depart from the Lord. He meets our every need. It's interesting when you read the parallel accounts and put them together here, all the different things that were taking place here. There was a test here for the disciples, well, specifically for Philip. John tells us that in John 6. It's the Lord who begins with these words. And he says to Philip, he says, where can we buy bread for these people, all this great crowd of people? The Lord begins with that, John 6. And it says he was testing Philip. He knew what he was going to do. And he's saying to Philip, where can we buy bread for these people? And of course we know, don't we, they respond to the disciples and they say, well, shall we go and buy, 200 penny worth of bread? Shall we send them into the villages to buy bread? And the Lord's testing. He says, the answer is to remain with the Lord, to be here. He says, they need not depart. Here is everything they need. Here they're in the presence of the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, their Creator. Here's the Good Shepherd. Here's the one who meets their every need. And there, of course, is that wonderful reminder to us that sometimes we are tested. Sometimes in our circumstances, we say, well, how am I going to meet this? Where can I find the answer to this problem? It's like this, isn't it? So the Lord says, where can you find the answer to these needs? It's to remain with the Lord. He says, they need not depart. We need to remain with him. How much do we spend feeding upon the Word of God? We just sung that hymn before we came to the Word of God. Feed us with the bread of life. When we come to the Word of God, it's that which nourishes us. And we find the promises in God's Word, the assurances of God's love for his people, the reminder of his love there at Calvary. And if the Lord has not withheld his only begotten Son, what else can he withhold? And those glorious truths are set before us in the Scriptures. And we're so foolish when, like the disciples, we say, well, send them away. Or like Philip, we say, well, where can we find the resources to meet this need? When it's met in the Lord himself. So there's a welcome that never wears thin when the Lord has bid us to come to him. When he says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He never sends us away. He never says, well, that's enough. You never outstay your welcome. And I will keep with the Lord, remaining with him, feeding upon his word, meditating upon all his glorious promises. And then we come, then fourthly, to what I've set down here as the Lord working all things together for good to those that love God. We know that verse so well, don't we, Romans 8. All things work together for good to those who love God, the called according to his purpose. And we find there that sometimes the Lord takes us into circumstances that are a puzzle to us. Perhaps they're fearful. Perhaps they bring distress. But the Lord who meets our every need, the Lord who's the God of compassion, the Lord who is satisfied on every knee, is the one who has taken us through those things for our good. And for that, we turn to that portion where we find that here, the Lord, having sent his disciples away, and he remained on the mountain, he said, you go on ahead. And he sends them across the sea in the ship. He remains on the mountain to send the people away and to pray. And the disciples find themselves in trouble. They're in the ship. The Lord has sent them. The Lord knows all things. And it says, and that they were tossed in the waves. The wind arose. They were toiling and rowing. There's a struggle now. And yet the Lord had sent them. And what is it that takes place? All these things, they work together for good. Look at the blessings that take place there. The Lord, it is again, impresses upon them the need of his very presence. It's the Lord who comes to them. What a wonderful thing takes place there. The Lord, it says, comes to them, walking upon the water. But notice what it is that takes place there. It says there in verse 48, it said, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. What is it that takes place here? Here's the Lord showing again. He was coming to them. But he makes as though he's going to pass by. What is it that he wants them to do? Just like he's already taught them and said that lesson to them, that the people need not depart when they were to be supplied with food. And now is a lesson for the disciples. He's coming to them. And he makes as though he's going to pass by. Oh, we don't want the Lord to pass by. We want the Lord to come to us. And to stay with us. And of course, the immediate response here is that when they see that, they're fearful, they're afraid, they think they've seen some sort of a ghost or a spirit. And And what is it that immediately takes place? The Lord says, it is I. Be not afraid. You see, we need the presence of the Lord. And again, it's the Lord saying he meets our every need. He comes to us even in those times of trouble. Even in those circumstances where they find themselves toiling and troubling and in some distress. You read the parallel accounts. That it says the boat was tossed. It says the winds had arose because of the wind, the waves had arisen. And the Lord comes to them and says, it is I. Be not afraid in the midst of those troubles. When we find that in the midst of whatever our circumstances are, do we look for the Lord coming to us in that? He works all things together for good to those who love him, to those at the core. When we come to know and love this good shepherd and we follow him and we remain with him and we keep with him, we know these tremendous blessings, that all these things work together for good. And the Lord at times he tests us. And we're looking for him. And we see him. Do we want him to come closer, to remain with us? All the blessings that come. But they're blessings, aren't they? Upon blessing here. When you read those parallel accounts of what took place here, this was the occasion where Peter walked on the water. Imagine that. Mark doesn't tell us about that. But what a blessing there. There was Peter able to, in his faith in the Lord, himself walk on the water, and the other disciples to observe and see that. What encouragements to one another. And we see one another going through troubles and looking to the Lord. And knowing his help. And then when Peter begins to sink under the waves and he says, Lord, save me. And the Lord reaches out and does it. And they're the disciples. They see this. What are they learning here? The Lord, he meets our every need. He comes to us in our need. And all these things work together for good. And what good it is. What blessings are unfolded here as each of them experience these things and see that the Lord it is that they need and meets their needs. But it doesn't end there. Notice what else they experienced through this trial and this difficulty here. As soon as the Lord entered into the ship, notice what it says there. It says the wind ceased. In verse 51, he went up unto them into the ship and the wind ceased. Parallel account in John's Gospel tells us that another miracle took place there. They were immediately at their destination the moment the Lord entered the ship. Now there's an incredible miracle. Can you see that here in this circumstance when they were toiling and troubled and in distress and separated from the Lord, when the Lord comes to them, there was blessing upon blessing upon blessing. Unfolding. It's like my cup runneth over, as the psalmist says. Here all these tremendous things. Can you imagine after that, something of the joy in the believers' hearts and lives, having known the Lord coming. And so we need to be those who are conscious of the great blessings that the Lord intends for his people, to hear those words, it is I, be not afraid, in the midst of those difficulties that the Lord knows about. And here he'd sent them ahead. He knew what would happen in every circumstance of our lives. Nothing's outside of his knowledge, outside of his control, outside of his purposes. It's a God of providence, and he works all things together for good to those that love him and called according to his purpose. And notice as well, whenever we're fearful, and whenever we think, well, surely in this circumstance, the Lord can't meet this need. We're overwhelmed by the need. Notice there's a lovely picture here of what took place when the Lord came to those disciples. The wind had whipped up the waves. The boat was tossed. The people were toiling. And what a contrast between this. It's a calm picture, isn't it, of the Lord just walking on the water. He wasn't struggling. We imagine when we go out into just the windy weather and we brace ourselves against the wind and the rain's lashing down and we struggle to walk. But the picture here is the Lord just calmly coming to them, walking on the water. In the midst of our troubles and difficulties and trials that are wearisome to us and a burden to us, they're nothing to the Lord. There's no impediment to the Lord. There's no obstacle to the Lord to come and meet our need and to come to us, as he does here, walking upon the water. Let that be an encouragement to us, whatever circumstance we're in. We have our Lord, who is a one of compassion, who is able, and he meets our every need. And so we have there those amazing pictures that we have of the Lord meeting our needs in his compassion. But then we need to turn our attention to our response to these things. How do we respond to that? We've already said if you're not one who is following this good shepherd, you need to come to him. He sees a people without a shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He's the one who laid down his life. We need to come to him. We need to stay with him. We need to know the Lord wants us to remain with him. And we need to know that he will come to us in every need. And how do we respond? Well, the disciples here, it says something here regarding their response. This is what it says in verse 51. They were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Now, if you just stop there at that point, we say, yes, it would have been amazing. We're amazed at what the Lord could do here. The feeding of the 5,000, the calming of the storm, the ship arriving at its destination, Peter walking on the water, the Lord walking to them in the storm. All these things, we would be amazed. We'd be filled with wonder. But is that wonder, when we see the Lord dealing with us, and in our circumstances, and the Lord meets that need, is it an amazement and a wonder that need could ever be met? That the Lord should be able to meet that need? Because that's not the wonder that we need. That's a wonder that it says here was because of unbelief, of hardened hearts. It says in verse 52, they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Now there's a solemn thought just here. When we see these things and we hear these things of the Lord, do we think that it's just restrained just to that one circumstance? Can't meet my need, and he doesn't meet my need. Hearts are hardened when we're amazed and we wonder in that way. We need to be those who are amazed and filled with wonder that he deals with us as an undeserving people in all his graciousness. The amazing thing is that he should set his love upon such as us, and that he does meet our need, and that he will meet our need, our every need. Why, O Lord, such love to me? That's the wonder of it. Not a wonder of doubt or of unbelief or a wonder that thinks, well, it's amazing that the Lord did that for them, but to be amazed that he should love such as me. And the other gospel accounts, they tell us in Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 14, and it says there that those in the ship, they came to him and worshipped him. They worshipped him. That's to be the response of our hearts. When we come to know this Lord Jesus as the one who meets our every need, because he is the one who is filled with compassion for his people, then we come and we worship him. Is that the response of our hearts this morning? To hear these things, to have this sight of the Lord Jesus, and to realize that we need him. But not just that, but that he meets our every need. And we just fall down before him and say, oh Lord, why such love to me, and we worship him. Do you worship him this morning? Is that the response of your heart? Or is it still like some of these here? It says their hearts were hardened. They didn't consider the miracles that had taken place. We need to consider these things. Say, oh Lord, if your heart's hardened this morning and you're not brought to worship the Lord and to fall down before him as your Lord and Saviour, as your shepherd, then you say, oh Lord, open my eyes, open my understanding. Give me, Lord, a heart that dwells upon these things, that revels in these things, that acknowledges the need to be cleansed and forgiven. That black, hardened heart, take it away, Lord. Give me a heart of flesh that loves you, that lays hold upon the Lord Jesus. And oh, that each of us here, we might rejoice in these things. The passage goes on. We find, don't we, when the ship arrived at the place that they were going to, all the people there, and here's a lovely picture now of all the people. They saw Jesus. They knew who he was. They knew he could heal. And the last few verses of that chapter, this glorious picture of people bringing all the sick out, lying them in the street, saying, Lord, if we could just but touch your garment. And that's what happens, isn't it? And it finishes there at the end of that chapter saying, and as many as touched him were made whole. As many as touched him were made whole. Oh, my friends, we can say with all the authority of the Word of God this morning, if you come to the Lamb of God, come to the Lord Jesus Christ, touching him in faith, like the woman in that crowd who, in trembling, reached out to touch his garment to be healed. And these people here, as many as touched him, were healed. Come to the Lord Jesus. He'll turn no one away. And those of us who have come to know him and to love him, he bids us to stay with him, to come aside and rest a while, to remain with him. We need not go anywhere else. And to know that in every circumstance, all these things, they work together for good to those that love him, those who are called. And there's the thrill, the joy, that if we're his, it's because he called us and because he drew us unto himself and he laid down his life for us and he saved us. And if it's the Lord who's done those things, we can never be lost. We can never again doubt, never again fear. We shall always be able to, in that full assurance of faith, say, he is mine. He's mine forever. And he'll never let me go. Well, may each of us know these things in our own lives and our own hearts this morning. Here's the one, filled with compassion. He meets our every need. Amen. Amen. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Oh, our Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, how we thank thee, Lord, for thy word. And again, we thank thee for every sight of our Saviour. And oh, we rejoice, Lord, all those who have come to know and love the Lord, that it's all of thy grace, all of thy mercy. We pray thou forgive us when we've wandered away, when we neglect, Lord, the Saviour who meets our every need. Oh, keep us close. And let us, Lord, in those times when perhaps we're fearful, be able to reach out and know that here's the one who says, it is I. Be not afraid. And oh, Lord, that thou keep us ever at thy side, following thee even through the valley of the shadow of death, to know that the Good Shepherd is the one who leads us heavenward. And Lord, if there be any who do not know thee, oh, Lord, open their eyes, their hearts, their understanding now. Draw them unto thyself. Lord, we pray that now may indeed be that day of salvation for them, and that all the glory will go unto thee. In our Saviour's name. Amen.